CBS Sports bracketology expert Jerry Palm. Welcome back to Tuscaloosa. I hope you're doing well.
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Absolutely. On a rainy night in Tuscaloosa, after losing to Arkansas last night, you can imagine the mood here.
Yeah, that was a tough one, no doubt about it. And, you know, I mean, that's the kind of game where just it would have been a nice win for Alabama's tournament resume. You know, to pick up a win at Arkansas, which is a tough place to win. Usually, they're very difficult to beat at home, even though Mississippi did it the other day. Arkansas is arguably the second-best team in the league, and to get a win there would have really been nice.
And Alabama's done that so many different times. I mean, you go back and look at the close losses. I don't know if that counts into the resume. I'm sure it does, or maybe it doesn't.
If that's all you got, you haven't got much.
Well, and that's the trouble. It's been one of those that a lot of these games are very, very close. And, Jerry, I just want to go back real quick. CBS Sports, you've got a bracketology that was released this morning, updated at 6:44 local time. You've got Alabama in the tournament. Why?
The last team in, yeah. Because, you know, down there at that part of the bracket, the team that's right behind them on my list is Tennessee. And Tennessee's got a couple of nice wins at home, Butler among them. But for the team they couldn't beat at home was Alabama. And Alabama beat them soundly in Knoxville. And for now, that's enough to keep Alabama ahead of Tennessee for that last spot on the bottom of the bracket. But, you know, Alabama's going to need to do more if they're going to hold that spot. At the end of the year, if their best win is still a win at Tennessee, there's no way they're making the tournament.
Okay, have you thought about, when you look at 13 games left, and you look at...
And the conference tournament.
And the conference tournament. Have you put a win total out there, including that conference?
Nope. Nope. And actually, a month from now, I won't have an answer to that question either. When you're in the part of the bracket where Alabama is, near the bottom, off the bottom... Honestly, the only thing you can... Well, there's 7 weeks to go, so there's plenty of basketball left to be played. There's a lot to do. You know, if they win all their games, yeah, they're going to make it. You know, but there's no magic number because it depends on what another two dozen teams are out there doing that are competing for those spots at the bottom of the bracket. So there's no... 13 games are left. Go 13-0. You're probably going to make it. Maybe even 11-2. But, you know, unless you're playing out of your mind from here on out, there's nothing definite. They're going to have to play at a level they haven't played at yet to make something definite happen between now and 7 weeks from now.
Jerry Palm right now, CBSSports.com. He is inside the game, and we're talking about the bracketology. He's a bracketology expert. He's got Alabama in right now. But let me make sure I understand this correctly. This is not a projection for March. This is a projection right now?
Brackets are always as if the tournament started today.
Okay.
As if the season ended today. And the reason for that is because there's 351 teams in college basketball, and you'd have to be able to, you know, reasonably correctly predict how all of the remaining games are going to turn out in order to do a projection based on the end of the season. And that's just not... I can do that in football. I can't really do that in basketball.
Well, now, hey, I want to slip in a football question a little bit later because you were also known at one time as a BCS expert. So I'm going to slip in that a little bit later because we're in Tuscaloosa, and so I want to go to that in a couple of minutes. But let me ask you, as far as the SEC, give me the number of teams that you think would be a max number of teams from the SEC that gets in this tournament.
Realistically, probably six is a maximum. And there's a low percentage of six, but you can make a realistic case for six teams coming out of here. And it's going to depend on how some of these teams do down the stretch of the season. Arkansas, Georgia, LSU are in generally better shape than the rest. Alabama, Tennessee, A&M all have some level of a chance. Even maybe Mississippi has got some kind of a chance for it, as chances seem to get worse every day. You know, but there's a collection of teams there that have, you know, a chance to sort of play their way in, and it's going to depend on how these teams finish the season, and it's going to depend on how the other teams around the country that are competing for spots that are near the bottom of the bracket do as well. So there's never really a control your own destiny kind of thing unless you're, you know, a Kentucky. And then, you know, that, you know, Kentucky is, you know, on a different class. Unless you're one of the, you know, truly elite teams, one of the top 10 or 15 teams, then you're where you're playing for seed. But otherwise, you know, with 7 weeks to go, just about anything can happen.
Jerry Palm right now inside the game here in Tuscaloosa. I want to go back and maybe look at it from this. Is there any chance that you see with just the SEC beating one another up and the parity in this league after you get behind Kentucky that there's only one team in the NCAA tournament?
Just Kentucky? No. No, I got to believe that somebody would emerge. I think the realistic minimum, counting Kentucky, is probably three teams in the field. But, you know, I think it's more of a 3-6 range. Just, you know, they just have, the other teams behind Kentucky would, you know, have to beat each other up to the point that, you know, the second place team is something like 10-8. And it just doesn't seem realistic. Somebody will emerge.
Jerry, you know one of the reasons why we're talking about it on the 23rd day of January in Tuscaloosa, being a football town, National Signing Day just a couple of weeks away. We are basketball fans, but football is first. Anthony Grant's on the hot seat here in Tuscaloosa. I think that's pretty obvious.
Right.
Is that fair from a national perspective that he should be on the hot seat 6 years into it, 1 year to the NCAA tournament in his 6 year? Is that fair to have him on the hot seat?
I understand that. You know, I think that, you know, when you're 6 years in, first of all, as great as Alabama is at football, it is a difficult place to win in basketball. And in fact, those two things are related. Anthony Grant, I think, is a pretty good coach. He was certainly successful where he has been in the past. But, you know, the expectation is that Alabama's going to be better than they've been 6 years into his tenure. And the fact that they aren't meeting those expectations, you know, that puts the coach on the hot seat. That's the way this works. That's the way this business is. And so, yes, it's fair. But Alabama, really, there's only one place, two, in the SEC where – It's a relatively easy place to win, Kentucky and Florida. Every place else, it's a tough job because it's such a football-heavy conference. Really, Kentucky is the only school in the league, maybe Vanderbilt, that puts basketball ahead of football.
If Anthony Grant doesn't achieve the tournament or does it, you know, he's let go. The name Alabama, if you went out and, you know, they've got him at top 20 money right now in basketball. He's making, you know, right around $2 million a year. It might be a little bit lower than 20, but it's in the top 22 as far as salaries in coaching basketball. Do you think they would be able to attract a name? Maybe not one of those bigger names. Sure, it's not a basketball program, but what could you get for about what Anthony Grant's making, maybe a little bit more if you wanted to make a bigger commitment? They've renovated Coleman Coliseum, some of the nicest facilities as far as everything around the academic support, beautiful campus, great town in Tuscaloosa, not too bad on the weather. Could you go out and get a name coach that would come to this program? Do you think Alabama could make that message to get a decent name if Anthony Grant's not the coach in March?
Sure, yeah. If you got enough money to put together, you can probably go get a coach commensurate with that kind of money. So, yeah, I think that that's a possibility. You know, you've got to get somebody that believes that they can make Alabama a winning basketball program. Now, the nice thing is, I mean, you've got to compete with Kentucky, which is ridiculous because they recruit an NBA team every year. And you've got to compete with Florida, who is down this year, but, you know, has got a great coach with a championship tradition. But after that, nobody stands out, you know, so you can get to be third in this league in a hurry. If you get the right guy and you get a couple of players, you can start building to the top of this conference in a hurry. And so, you know, if Anthony Grant is not that guy and they go find somebody else, I mean, that's what you're looking for. You're looking for a guy that's got the energy level and the coaching ability to go get and recruiting ability, because that's very important, to go get a guy or two and get this thing going upward right away, get near the top of the league right away, because that can be done.
You have any thoughts about Bruce Pearl across the state at Auburn? I mean, you like that hire? I mean, he's got that energy. He's got that program selling ability. He's a great marketer. I know that's been a big topic here in this state of maybe not where he is this year, but where he may take that program in the future.
Yeah, I thought that made a lot of sense. It's a league he's been successful in. Auburn, like Alabama, a difficult place to win at basketball, but that's the kind of a guy who has got a name with recruits because of his success, can, you know, possibly turn something like that around and get that thing going pretty quickly. Now, obviously, you know, he doesn't have a whole lot to work with this year, but, you know, there's an expectation at Auburn that he's going to get that program up there quickly. That's why he was brought in. That's why they're paying him what they're paying him. It's kind of the situation I just talked about. That's the guy that they expect to be able to put Auburn near the top of this conference in short order.
Jerry, one more time before I ask you this quick football question. Right now, you've got Alabama in your bracketology, but I think it's also fair, if I'm reading between the lines, you don't see it really happening in March.
No, I wouldn't rule that out at all. I'm just saying that they've got work to do to make that happen in March. If their best win right now, their best win is at Tennessee. If that's still their best win in March, then they're not going to make it. They're going to have work to do between now and then to ensure that they can get into the bracket. But there isn't any reason to think it can't be done. They've just got to go out and do it. They got to win games like the one they had the other night. They got to find a way to close that out with a W instead of going home disappointed. They got to win games like that.
All right, you're a college football guy, and I featured you as long as I've been on the radio here in Tuscaloosa, when certainly going back to sort of helping us understand the BCS, and I remember featuring you right before we thought Alabama was going to make it in 2011. They did make it. Some of those projections. Let me ask you about college football playoffs for a couple of minutes. Do you like the way that we select the Final Four? Did you have a problem with it? Critique the college football playoff system.
I don't think it matters how you select the teams, because you're not selecting enough teams to get everybody into the playoff that is capable of winning the playoff if it were big enough to include them. For example, you're out of your mind if you think that TCU or Baylor could not just as easily have been standing on that podium in Dallas instead of Ohio State. But the playoff wasn't big enough to include TCU or Baylor, let alone both of them. So as long as you're leaving out really good potential championship teams, it doesn't matter how you pick them. It's going to be controversial. It's going to be flawed. It's, I don't know about flawed. You know, they're going to fill four teams, but four is not big enough. And until they fix that, how they pick the teams is really irrelevant.